You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. It is Monday's edition of the podcast. Don't forget you can join us live on Racing Radio from midday on Monday for all of the action. We go racing at Plumpton, Nace, Fosslass and Wolverhampton through the course of the day. Fingers crossed Fosslass do get the go-ahead as we record this. They are subject to an inspection, but we've got hopefully four meetings taking place to kickstart the week. Sam Norris here and delighted to be joined on the podcast on this edition anyway. Double trouble. Luke Elder and Sean Quinn are in the studio with me. How are you, gents?
We've been called worse.
Double trouble, yep, far worse.
And that's just today by Danny Jackson on the TV service.
Deservedly so, I imagine.
No, I think Danny was out of order today.
Okay. I think she was, yeah. I'm going to lodge a complaint, but...
Other than that, are you well?
But she tells us she's the boss, so I don't know where to complain.
There you go.
I'm okay. I wouldn't mind some dinner.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I've only had a bowl of crunchy nut today.
Okay.
I mean, there's a big mistake on my behalf.
Yeah, it is really.
Yeah, I mean, it was an 11:30 start racing today, so
that's true.
I was caught out a little bit, if I'm being perfectly honest.
That is true. Sean, do you arrive better fed?
I've been well fed today.
Okay. He had a cheese straw,
bit of scrambled egg for breakfast, and then I had a cheese straw midway through the racing.
Okay, nice.
Like a cheese swirl.
Yeah,
it was nice.
I bet you had like some salmon or avocado with your scrambled egg.
I did.
We've got a couple of races to preview at Plumpton on Monday, a little bit later on in the podcast. But I wanted to get to Saturday's action first and foremost and recap some of the headlines that have come out of the weekend. Probably the horse that made the biggest stir in terms of the anti-post markets was a horse that didn't even run at the weekend. The cold water was firmly poured on Altior's potential bid for a King George by Nicky Henderson. He all but ruled the horse out. It looks very unlikely anyway. As a result, the... winner of the race last year, Clanders Obeau, has been the real springer in the market as far as we're concerned. Luke, wanted to get your thoughts on this first of all, because I know last season you were one of the biggest advocates, the biggest cheerleaders, if you like, of Altior stepping up in trip. I recall you saying not only did you think he'd stay, you thought he would even improve for the 3 miles.
Yeah,
so this must be devastating news for you.
Yeah, I'm gutted about it. I was hoping, well, I was planning a trip anyway to Kempton on Boxing Day if Altior ran. I still might go. But I was looking forward to seeing him take on the very best 3 milers. I mean, I've been saying for about, since his chase debut, actually, I was at Kempton on the day he beat Black Horton in that chase debut and said that he'd be a lovely horse up in trip in the future. Obviously, he's been so good at 2 miles. He hasn't needed to step up in trip. Mm. But I feel like now is the time to not put the 3 mile thing on the back burner. I still think that they should carry on with it. I hope that he's okay, because obviously it was an unsatisfactory piece of work.
Sure.
There's been nothing else really said about it other than he probably wouldn't have been ready for Kempton, so I hope he's all right. But we've still got an absolute cracker of a race for the King George. I mean, it's not like when we had Thistle Crack against Kew Card and nothing else
other
year. We've still got Surname, who's probably going to turn up, Clanders Obeau. Yeah. Thistle Crack's probably not going to run in the contest, but we've got Lost in Translation thrown into the mix as well. It's going to be an absolute belter come Boxing Day.
Definitely. I don't think the King George is going to be too adversely affected. Mm. Sean, as regards Altior himself, Did he look at a non-stayer to you when he clashed with Surname, or do you still think the 3 mile experiment is worth continuing with?
I think he looked in need of the run. I think he looked rusty, but I think he's probably a 2 miler as well. So I think with those things combined, so I'm not especially upset not to see him in the King George, because I didn't fancy him for a King George. That said, it would have been another interesting horse to throw into the melting pot. Definitely. Because, as you heard from Luke there, he's of the opinion that he would stay 3 miles, and there are obviously plenty of people. So a lot of questions would have been answered, wouldn't they, with regards to Altior. So it's a huge shame in that respect, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see intermediate and 3 mile plans aborted and him come back into the champion chase picture.
The one thing we can say about Altior, if he does go back to 2 miles, it'll be interesting either way, because he could have the biggest test he's ever had over 2 miles with the likes of
Defi de Soy, Chacon Pour Soir,
Silas Emery thrown into the mix as well. If Duvan were to come back, he'd be a fascinating mix into things. Obviously, Duvan's running there.
Do you think he's had it a little bit easier in the division for a while or not?
A bit easy might be harsh. I think it's probably better put now, saying that we've got a really thriving bunch of youngsters coming up in the 2 mile division. Because Defi de Soy, he's been brilliant so far this year. He was a wonderful novice chaser last year. Chacon Pour Soir, we haven't seen him this year. He's had the race course gallop, but last year he looked a potential superstar.
Is he set for Leopardstown at Christmas?
Possibly. I've not actually seen any quotes about him.
We know he's obviously been fragile, hasn't he? So I wouldn't expect to see a great deal of him before the springtime festivals.
No, he could just be sort of the one run type and then go straight to Cheltenham. But I mean, last year he looked like an absolute superstar in the making at Chacon Pour Soir.
Yes.
Either way, Altior's going to have a real, real test at Cheltenham, whether he goes for the champion chase, whether he won't go for the Gold Cup.
There's been a few people suggesting, absolutely.
I mean, the Ryanair could be the cop-out option for Altior. You don't want to take on the real up-and-coming 2 mile chasers, but it'll be fascinating for the rest of the season where he goes.
Chacon Pour Soir, incidentally, is in at Leopardstown on the 27th for the Grade 1 chase over 2 miles and a furlong, of which he's 4-6 anti-post favourite for. So,
Who else is in that, just out of interest?
Which race is that? That's been wrenching for waiting patiently. You're going to get Simply Ned in it.
Yeah.
Silas Emery second in at 5-1. Min's in there at 6-1.
Yeah, Min runs in it every year, doesn't he?
Yeah. 8's about Hardline. Undersow's 8-1. Waiting Patiently 8-1. A Plutard is 12-1. Footpad's in there at 12-1. Ballyasheen 16. Duke de Geneva 16.
If they all turned up, and it is a big if, that'll be as good a contest.
Well, there's about 7 Mullins horses.
Yeah. And the richer ones are going to be kept apart, wouldn't you?
Yes, and we see Min over a bit further these days anyway, don't we? More often than not.
Yeah, he'll probably just run in the races that he could probably take in, to be honest.
Yeah. That's Altior then. On to some of Saturday's horses that did run. Obviously not the strongest day of racing throughout the entire course of the year, but it was entertaining enough at Cheltenham. Warthog was the winner of the big race of the day, Sean. This is a horse that had quite a reputation as a bumper horse.
Yeah.
Didn't maybe live up to that reputation, but chasing was always kind of going to be the main aim with this lad, and he put in a really resilient effort at Cheltenham when headed by Spirit of the Games at the running, but Warthog didn't want to lie down.
Yeah, and I think this horse is probably a reflection of the David Pipe team as a whole over the last 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, he made his debut for this team, and the Pipe Yard have been in a bit of a lull over the past over the last 2 years. It's only this season they've come out of that, really, and Warthog has hit his straps as well. As you say, that's coincided with him going chasing, stepping up in trip. Clearly that is his forte. That was a career best effort from him yesterday. Would it be fair to say it came in a renewal of the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup that won't be renowned as vintage? Open, competitive, yes, but not vintage, really. Spirit of the Games had been badly out of form, in truth, coming into this since his excellent run at Cheltenham earlier in the year. It might just be that Spirit of the Games is able to lift his game around Prestbury Park. But
Spirit of the Games, if you backed him at 40s, you're feeling a bit hard done by, because he got to the front maybe a touch too soon.
Yeah, because you're almost counting your cash at one stage on the running.
I backed him in the Bet Victor Spirit of the Games, and he ran no sort of race. And as he's coming up the run in the 40s, I think, oh, for goodness sake. And then suddenly Warthog comes back. It was a proper Cheltenham finish, Sean.
It was, and to counter that, Warthog had been in front for a good part of the race. He's a young horse, only a 7-year-old. He was entitled to be getting lonely, and I loved the way he responded to pressure from David Noonan.
Shame we didn't get to see Riders of the Storm run in that race, obviously due to a clerical error. Sean, you're involved with a racing yard, of course. Just how easy is it to make a mistake like that with they obviously non-run the wrong horse. They tried to non-run a Rocco, I think, was it, and ended up taking out Riders of the Storm. I understand why Weatherby's have made their decision, and I think it's fair enough for them to stick to that. But to lose the Antipode's favourite for the big Saturday race is disappointing.
Look, it shouldn't happen, but I think it probably happens with every yard at some point, albeit maybe not just with such a high-profile horse and a high-profile race. All your runners are listed on one page in the Weatherby's website. Yeah. I can only imagine the secretary has gone onto that page and accidentally clicked the wrong horse. Nigel Twiston Davis said there was a miscommunication as well between him on the phone to his secretary. That might well have been the case. Yeah. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
I feel bad for whoever has pressed the button because they'll be sick about it.
Of course,
As Nigel Twiston Davis said, I'd agree with him. The rules are rules. I do think sometimes that there maybe could be a bit more leniency with the BHA. I've been involved in one or two similar issues myself in the past, and you realise you've made a mistake and you ring, and that there's no leniency.
Yeah, yeah.
People might say, look, that's sport. It's fair. It's the rules. If you're a little bit more humane, you might say, look, if an error has been made before a cut-off point, surely an error can be fixed.
I feel like the Twiston Davises have come out of this pretty well, though.
Yeah.
The way they've handled it publicly, I mean, Sam rode Cogri, didn't he, for his father to win. And in the interview afterwards on ITV, Sam didn't want to talk about Cogri to start with. He mentioned that mistakes happen and everything. And then, obviously, he had the chat as well on ITV and... Look, he defended the secretary to high heaven. He said he's fantastic and said how good he was at the job. Effectively, I think the phone call that you're alluding to, Sean, as well, happened on the gallops because Rocco came back a bit lame. Sam was saying, and look, they've handled it very well. They've said we've made a mistake. They haven't really gone crying from the rooftops about being treated unfairly. They've acknowledged. They said, look, we made a mistake. It is what it is. Let's get on with it, sort of thing.
Yeah. Let's discuss the international hurdle as well then, the 3:05 race on Saturday, where Call Me Lord was the winner, scored at 2-1, ended up being sent off favourite. Baliandi second at 12-1, Chitabello finished back in third at 8-1. Much of the talk before the race, Luke, had been about Pentland Hills, obviously, last year's triumph winner, followed up with the win at Aintree. And with champion hurdle type horses sort of falling by the wayside one after the other this year, Classical Dream disappointed, Bouvardair disappointed, and then picked up the injury. The division really needed Pentland Hills to kind of stamp his authority all over this race. In the end, the market got it spot on by making Call Me Lord favourite, who then went on to win. But he certainly isn't on people's lips as a champion hurdle type. For all, you know, he won the race on Saturday. But it's a division that's lacking a little bit now.
Yeah, I mean, there probably isn't a race at Cheltenham for Call Me Lord unless he went for the Stayers hurdle, which he might just come up a bit short in. I was willing to defend Pentland Hills a lot more than quite a few others were. And I wasn't a Pentland Hills fan going into this season whatsoever. I thought he was going to be a typical juvenile, a very good juvenile.
Yeah, yeah.
Wins at Cheltenham, wins at Aintree, and then... we'll see him running in good handicaps for the next couple of seasons or so. I wasn't really signed up to Pentland Hills, but he went on the worst of the ground on the inside in the hands of Nico de Boinville. He challenged furthest away from the stands, which probably wasn't where you really wanted to be. And he was, jumping the last, he's still there. He's upsides. And then he just blew up a little bit. He faded back into fifth. He was a little bit keen throughout the race. He's going to be better with slightly better ground. I mean, it was pretty attritional stuff at Cheltenham. So I'm willing to defend Pentland Hills quite a lot more than a few others who have just cast him away. Now, I don't necessarily think he'll win a champion hurdle, but he will win races this season. I say I was a lot more impressed with Nicky Anderson's charge than quite a few others, but I would seriously doubt if there's a champion hurdle horse in that field or a champion hurdle winner. Pentland Hills will
run in it.
Yeah, we'll go for it. Baliandi might go for it as well after that. That run and Chibello maybe, but whether there's a winner in the race, I'd seriously doubt.
What was your take on the context, Sean?
I came away wanting to be with one horse for the remainder of the season in the 2 mile division, and that is Pentland Hills.
Really,
he's overraced the whole way.
100%.
He's not been a little bit keen. He's reefed Nico de Boinville the whole way in a top class race. His first race out of juvenile company. Yep. He's carrying a grade one penalty, so he's conceding weight to the likes of Call Me Lord and Bally Andy. He's only got tired after jumping the last. Luke might be right that he's blown up a little bit. I'm not sure he did blow up. I think he's just not had anything more to give because he's been too keen. I can't wait to see him run again. I don't know if what the plan is. I don't know if it'll come too soon,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, if there was another week, I'd love to see him in the Christmas hurdle at Kempton.
Yeah,
I think that test would really suit him. But you get the feeling it's going to come too soon for him.
There's nothing really for champion hurdle horses in January, is there? Unless you go to... There's a big race in Ireland back end of... January, but he's not going to go to that. It won't happen,
but the Irish Champion Hurdle towards the top of his agenda.
Nicky Henderson hates sending horses to Ireland for the
pre-Cheltenham
the Irish Racing Festival. I mean, he complained, this sounds like I'm bashing him a little bit here, he complained that Bouvardet didn't have a hard enough race in the Contenders Hurdle when I think the same weekend was the Irish Champion.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, it's not going to happen, he goes he probably will run in the Contenders Hurdle, either him or Fuse or Raffles.
That's the listed race there. It's the race Sandown, isn't it?
Binocular won it years on the trot. He'll probably go there. If he doesn't, then Fuse or Raffles will, obviously. It's Bouvardet's race normally, but if he's not going to be around for that, then
I don't think he will be.
No, then one of them's going to have to, well, one of them will step in.
Yeah.
Probably, I would think, Pentland Hills of the two. What price is Pentland Hills just
for the champion?
Yeah,
8-1.
So you see, that just tells you it all about the champion hurdle picture.
Yeah.
The fact that bookies aren't keen to push him out to double figure odds. It's such a skinny pool this year. You know, we're so sad that we've got this year's champion, Espoir de Lens, no longer with us. Bouvardet is unlikely to be seen again this season. And
would 8-1 interest you?
Yeah,
it would. Okay.
If you gave me a free bet in the champion hurdle, I'd back him.
Right?
Would I go and part with my own money on it now? No.
That's just Sean Quinn all over.
Does that say more about you?
Being born in Yorkshire has plenty to do with that.
I would want more towards 14s for Pentland Hills, but that's just me not being a massive fan of him before the season, but coming round to him now, effectively.
Okay. 8-1 for Pentland Hills. Classical Dreams currently the 4-1 favourite. Saldier is 9-2, 8-1 for Pentland Hills. Fusel Raffles 9-1, 10s and bigger the rest. Before we go on to Monday's action, chaps, anything else to mention from Cheltenham? Obviously, we had Botox Haas, Mr. Fisher, Dan de Coppin, all winning. And of course, we had Sam Spinner winning in incredible fashion over at Doncaster. What a sit from Joe Colliver there as well.
A good tactic from Joe Colliver as well. Make the mistake, put off I Wright on the inside and get rid of I Wright.
Yeah, because I Wright got rid of the jockey, didn't he, during the same incident.
There were a couple of eye catchers that I wanted to point out. One of them, I think, the majority of people would have seen in Not That Fuisse in the Caspian Caviar.
Ran very well for a novice in that.
Yeah, he was a horse that I really liked going into the race. 2.5 probably found him out a little bit, but Harry Skelton gave him a far more forceful ride than I thought he would. I mean, top of the hill on the outside, he was sat in about third place and he was only about half a length off the leader. I expected him to pick off a few late on in the day. I mean, it made no difference. He might have finished fifth rather than sixth, but 2 miles might just be the making of him. Obviously, he's still very inexperienced over fences. He's only ran, I think, 2 races going into that over fences, or 3 races, sorry, behind Eric LaRouge, Al Dancer, and behind Torpillo. Mr. Fisher and Lisp at Warwick. That run in the Caspian Caviar wasn't bad at all. I think it speaks volumes as well as to how they regard him, as how well handicapped he is, that Harry Skelton got down to 10'2". That's pretty much his basement weight. He wouldn't really do lighter than that, Harry Skelton. I think if you're looking for a long-term target, he's probably going to run in the Grand Annual, isn't he, at the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah.
Whether he's good enough to win a race like that, I'm not sure, but he'll pick something up this season, I imagine. And in the last, the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle, I think Queen's Cave is one to keep on side. Time after time at these meetings at Cheltenham, we get poached ground on the inside and still you get one or two jockeys that don't get the memo and go up the inner. There were 3 in this race. Tom Scudamore was one of them. Harry Skelton did it on Vision Dupuis, who was well beaten and never really going to go anywhere. But Sam Willie Cohen did it on Lust for Glory as well. He went right up the inside, which ended up in Lust for Glory being beaten 69.5 lengths. I'd still keep her on the side for the future. But Queen's Cave went more towards the inner, was always prominent, and finished back in fifth. Wasn't beaten that far. They would be two horses I'd be having my eye on in the future, especially David Pipe's Charge.
Okay. Sean, was there anything else to throw into the mix from the weekend for you?
In a word, no. I don't think we saw any major Cheltenham Festival players across the two meetings. There'd be more horses that ran and won and Phil Minor on us yesterday that I'm keen to take on as the season goes on, which is no bad thing.
No, of course.
But I think we've seen stronger weekends.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair to say. Let's look ahead to some of Monday's action. Then hopefully we'll be able to close the card with a winning double at Plumpton, because Luke's going to preview the 250 and Sean's going to preview the 320. But just prior to that, Luke, I know you had something of an interest in the open of the 12-10, which is another of their bonus race series at Plumpton. I think the second one of the season.
I think it might be the third,
or is it
actually
the third?
Yeah,
right,
it might be the third. Lisper's won one of them anyway, over at Chun. I mean, they're a fantastic initiative. Obviously, you get the £60,000 for winning one of the bonus series races. I think there's five of them every year at Plumpton.
And then if you follow up at the festival.
Yeah, you follow up, you've got to win a chase at the festival. Doesn't matter what chase. It could be a novice race, it could be a grade one, it could be a handicap. As long as you win one, you win the £60,000 bonus. It's not been done since Voy Por Estedes did it in the Arkell many years ago, 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
Coney Gree would have done it if he was allowed to run at Plumpton before the vets took him out. I think he got a compensatory amount after the Gold Cup. But it's a disappointing turnout in a way. You can understand why a few lesser horses haven't maybe gone, because Higher Sun's rated 142, Diablo de Rue's rated 144. But these are genuinely genuine horses that have got chances in maybe festival handicaps or potentially as an outsider in something like an RSA. It's a great initiative. I think Plumpton, it should be applauded for putting it on every single year. I just wish they got bigger fields for it, because I think Lisp was about 1-5 when he won the other day.
Yeah.
Alan King always seems to support it. Nicky Henderson does as well. But again, tomorrow we've got a more disappointing turnout.
Yes, just a match. At least it's going to be a half-decent match. Higher Sun's 4-6 and Diablo de Rue is 11-10. But as you say, a fantastic initiative put on by the course. And whilst we have got two quality horses in there, it'd be nice to have a few more quality horses.
Nice to make it more of a race.
Yes. Let's talk the 250, though, because this is the race you've selected for a tip. Handicap chase over just shy of 2.5 miles. Flaminger is the 11-8 favourite at the time of recording. Minella Voucher, 7-4. 9-2, Vincenzo Mio. The Mighty Ash, 10-1, 16-1, and bigger for the rest of them. What's the pick going to be?
It will be Flaminger. Look, I know he's a short enough price, but I'd be using him if you're going to have a treble or anything tomorrow. I'd 100% have him in. He's yet to win. He's 0-7, but quite nicely. He ran last time around at Plumpton in one of the bonus series races behind Lisp. He was beaten 19 lengths. He was never, ever going to beat Lisp at all. He's off a mark of 107 tomorrow. And if he's not winning this, you'd be a little bit worried, because he's in a 0-105. Obviously, he carries that little bit extra weight, being off a mark of 107. You could brand him a bit of a monkey, but I think he's more just learning how to race. He was very, very keen in his earlier days, the likes of Kempton and Fontwell. I think he's about to start a winning thread, effectively. Yep. Off 107 tomorrow, I'm pretty sure he's a horse who could make it to at least 120, maybe a little bit higher than that. Tomorrow is a perfectly winnable race. The likes of Manella Voucher in there, won last time around for Alexandra Dunn. That wasn't a great race at Fontwell. Vincenzo Mio's a perennial loser for the Chris Gordon Yard, albeit he travels well throughout his contests. I know he's a short enough price, but the Moors are just beginning to come back to a bit of form. Of course, they have Botox has win the juvenile hurdle at Cheltenham. I think I'd be disappointed if Flaminger couldn't take the 250.
Yeah, you're a fairly well-connected man when it comes to the Gary Moore Yard.
People like to think that.
Are the vibes good? Is that not the case, really?
I'm from the same hometown.
Yeah.
Like, Gary Moore trains in Horsham.
Is that the only connection?
Well, no, I've got a couple of friends that have worked there throughout the years, but...
So you are well connected with the...
Not at all. Not at all. The friends are idiots. They're all clueless.
Well, fingers crossed Flaminger can go in the 250. On to the bumper then, the 320 last race on the card. This is a bumper over 2 miles and a furlong. No betting for this one at the time of recording. Sean, what have you picked out in the National Hunt flat race?
I think Mountain Leopard can improve on what was an okay debut effort at Market Raisin 3.5 weeks ago, Sam. I think This son of Shantou will improve for the little bit of extra yardage that he gets with only a furlong, but it will help him. He's a horse who's going to want 2.5 and probably 3 miles in time, but he's nicely bred son of Shantou. Being by Shantou, he should handle a bit of juice in the ground. He's out of an unraced mare, Laurel Gift, but she is a full sister to Jesse's Dream, who, of course, was a decent hurdler, but enjoyed her enjoyed his biggest day in the Sun when winning the Drinmore in the Johnson Family Colours. He was also second in an RSA chase, so he was all about stamina. This horse hails from a nice family, though. You've got Buckhouse under the fourth dam. The Usel Bump performer AC Milan falls under the fourth dam as well. So there's plenty to like about him in terms of pedigree. Venetia Williams' string are going pretty well, and hopefully he can account for Falberto, who's probably the other horse to consider on all known form lines. I'll be interested to see, is there any money for Little River Bay for Philip Hobson, Richard Johnson, as she is a well-bred daughter of Scirocco, related to two particularly good jumpers in the shape of Imperial Presence and Generous Ransom. But with the run under his belt, Mountain Leopard will do for me.
Mountain Leopard, the pick then in the 3:20 at Plumpton. Good stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Luke Elder and Sean Quinn on Monday's racing, and a little bit of a recap of the weekend as well. Hopefully you enjoyed this edition of the Racing Podcast. We'll speak again soon. Luke and Sean, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sam.
A pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.